Copyright 2011 JKP Radha Madhav Dham. All rights reserved. Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the US ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series, he gives an in-depth description of the different kinds of bhakti, the stages a devotee progresses through on the path of bhakti, and the ultimate goal, the divine bhakti. These speeches are based on the descriptions by Rup Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as explained by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj.
Prathamam Sadgurum Vande Shri Krishnan Tadanantaram Guru Papatmanam Tratam Shri Krishnas Tvamalatmanam Prapannaham Sadashyama Gurupadarvindayo Tasya Preranaya Tasya Divya Desham Vadamyaham. Mannatha Shri Jagannatho Madguru Shri Jagadguru Madatma Sarvabhutatma Tasmai Shri Gurave Yo Brahmanam Vidadhati Purvam Yo Vai Vedanscha Prahinoti Tasmai Tagvangha Devamatma Buddhi Prakasham Mumukshurvai Sharanamaham Prapadye. Dear devotees, we'll have a few minutes of Nam Sankirtan and then we'll continue with this series on bhakti.
Bhajo Giri Dhare Govinda Gopala Bhajo Giri Dhare Govinda Gopala Thank you. Jogiridhar Govinda Gopala. Jogiridhar Govinda Gopala. Bhajo Giridhar 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 Govinda Gopala.
बोलिए वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की।
Yesterday I explained to you the need for bhakti, why we have to do bhakti, and then as well briefly covered the fact that there are three kinds of bhakti. One is sadhana bhakti, that's the bhakti that we do. One is bhav bhakti, which is part of the devotional process, but it's a stage that we enter into along the way. And then when bhav bhakti is complete, then we get prema bhakti. That's actually Krishna's divine love power. So that divine love power is also known by the name bhakti. So one bhakti we receive upon complete heart purification. And the first bhakti we have to do, that's sadhana bhakti, that's devotion. And bhav bhakti is part of our path. It comes along the way. As our heart starts to purify, we start to experience the signs of bhav bhakti, which go on increasing as our heart purifies until bhav bhakti becomes complete. Then our guru, if that guru is a rasic saint, he can give us swarup shakti, God's personal power. That comes into our heart, which has been cleaned by doing bhakti. And then it divinizes our heart. So just being clean is not enough. It has to become divine. So the guru does that. Then into our divine heart, the guru gives us prema bhakti, the ultimate prize, the ultimate goal, divine love. I also mentioned that in his Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, Rup Goswami has described 6 features of bhakti which are unique to bhakti.
Kleshagni shubhada moksha laghuta krit sudurlabha sandrananda visheshatma Shri Krishna Karshini Chasa.
6 qualities of bhakti. The first is kleshagni. Klesh means suffering. Kleshagni means that which removes suffering. So this is the first quality or feature of bhakti, is that it removes klesh. And what is klesh? Rup Goswami defined that as well. Kleshastu papam tadbija mavidya cheti tatridha. He says there's 3 kinds of klesh, and bhakti gets rid of all 3 of them. The first one is pap. Sins that we've done lead to our suffering. So there's 2 kinds of pap. There's that pap which we did in our past life, which is now coming to us as destiny. So the fruit of our past life's bad actions results in suffering in this life. In other words, klesh. And then there's the sin that we do in this life. That's another kind of pop. So one is past life sins, which we're undergoing the consequences of now, and one is the present life sins. So does bhakti remove the suffering caused by past life sins? Yes. Nothing else can do this. Only bhakti can. Krishna says in the Gita, Ananyash chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. In other words, as a soul becomes surrendered to Krishna, he starts taking care of that soul. He starts taking the responsibility of that soul, both spiritually and physically. So bhakti actually has the power to reduce a person's sufferings that were destined to happen to them. And of course, if through bhakti you fully purify your heart and you burn all of your past life's actions, all of that past karma can be burnt through bhakti, then all of your prarabdha, all of your destiny is also finished. So bhakti removes that type of pap. Bhakti also removes the current life's sins. It means whatever sins we're doing in this life, by doing bhakti, we're also, depending how much bhakti we're doing, it is having some effect of redeeming those sins, not only of past lives, but of the current life. The next type of klesh is pap ka bij, tad bijam. Bij means seed. So doing sins is one thing, but what's the machine which keeps producing those sins? Well, that's this right here, our mind, our heart. Because it's impure, we have sinful thoughts and we do wrong actions, all of us, even devotees. So if that could be cured, then number one wouldn't even be a factor. So does bhakti do that? Yes, bhakti cleans your heart. So this machine, which is always producing our thoughts, starts producing more pious thoughts because it's getting cleaned through doing bhakti. And number three, avidya. This is actually the cause of both number two and number one. Avidya means ignorance. Bhakti has the power to remove ignorance, yes. And I don't mean by reading a book. That's another part of the devotional path. But I mean actually by doing bhakti, you remove ignorance. How? In the Bhagavatam, Vedavyasji says, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitah Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnananca Yadahaitukam. By doing bhakti, automatically you get renunciation from the world and you get knowledge. Bhakti Pareshanubhavo Virak. Bhakti gives three things all at once. Anubhava, one is the experience of bhav, the experience of feeling close to God. Anyatra traishatrika eka kala, but two other things happen at the same time. Prapadyamanasya yathashnatah syus Tushti pushti chudapayo nughasam. You also get jnana and vairagya automatically, without even thinking about it. Jnana means knowledge, and vairagya means renunciation or detachment from the world. How does it happen? Just like if you eat food, all you have to do is eat the food. That means do bhakti. So you just eat the food, then after that you don't have to think about, okay, now in my stomach this enzyme has to be secreted, then this they have to mix like that, and then it has to get, you know, broken down, and then it has to go into my blood, and then it has to feed my cells. No, you just eat and automatically all of that happens. So similarly, just by doing bhakti, automatically your worldly attachments reduce. So it's one thing to reduce your worldly desires through literal understanding. There's no happiness in the world. There is happiness in God. Yes, that's one side of doing devotion. So intellectually, we try to understand the fact and then turn our mind towards God. But the more someone actually just practices devotion, as their heart purifies, worldly attachments reduce automatically from inside without you doing anything. All you have to do is eat the food. In other words, do bhakti. Same thing with jnana. What is jnana? Jnana, true jnana, comes after experience. What experience? The experience of your relationship with God, which you get by doing bhakti. So it's not an intellectual understanding, it's a practical experience. So the secrets of the scriptures are revealed to you automatically as you progress on the path of bhakti. So bhakti has the power to remove ignorance, to purify our heart and fix our mind so that it doesn't have sinful thoughts, and it also has the power to redeem our sins of past lifetimes and this lifetime. That's the first quality of bhakti, klesh agni. Number two, Shubhada. Rupa Goswami also defines this. Shubh means something good. The good thing, the best thing. And da means gives. So Shubhada, bhakti, gives us something good. It's also defined as three things. Shubha niprinanam sarva jagata manuraktata.
Sadgunah, Sukhamityadi.
Three things. The first one, the whole entire creation, everything is pleased when you do bhakti. You make everybody happy. Number two, all the good qualities, sadgunas, they start to, just naturally, they arise in your heart, all the good qualities. And number three, sukham. You get happiness by doing bhakti. So shubha da. Why is the whole world happy? Everything? Well, let's look at it in three categories. Other forms of divine God. We're worshipping Radha and Krishna. What about Shiva? What about Hanuman? What about Durga? What about all these other forms? Do we also have to worship them? No, they're automatically pleased by devotion to Krishna. They also worship Krishna. So they're automatically happy. Oh, you're worshipping my divine beloved too? Oh, good. I don't mind. You worship me, don't worship me, it doesn't matter. You're worshipping Radha and Krishna. That's great. Celestial gods, devatas like Indra, Varun, Kuber, Agni, Vayu, all these personified mayic forces, they're also pleased. There's a whole section in the Vedas. The major portion of the Vedas actually comprises worship to these celestial gods to attain swarg. It's called Karmakand of the Vedas. It's a preliminary measure. For people who just think about enjoying the world, to give them some incentive to do good actions. So along with worshipping the celestial gods, they're required to do certain charities and austerities and other good actions. So it actually brings them towards a more sattvic state of mind, even though their goal was just to enjoy the world. That's why that major section of the Vedas is there. It's not for us. Well, what about those celestial gods? If we're not worshipping them the way it's said in the Vedas, will they be upset? No, they're also happy. You're worshipping Krishna, he's my boss. If you're worshipping him, I'm happy. So they're not looking at you, hey, you didn't do puja to me, you didn't do yajna to worship me. And even if one of them did, it would be as Sri Maharaji says, durvasa ka hal hoga. Durvasa was a jnani, yogi, great saint, and as part of a leela to show the greatness of bhakti, he had a little dispute with a devotee, King Ambarish. And as a result of that dispute, because he was unfairly... Ambarish was worshipping Krishna, and because of that, he didn't properly take care of Durvasa when he came, and you know, he was feeling I'm your guest and you didn't properly care for me, so I'm sending this fire breathing demon after you. So what happened was Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra after Durvasa. He said, you're attacking one of my devotees. So Durvasa is also a saint, but he wanted to show the greatness of bhakti and see that even a great jnani, yogi, tapasvi like Durvasa, he can't get away with challenging one of God's bhakta saints. So how could any celestial god even dream of saying, what, you're doing Krishna's bhakti and you're not worshipping me? Indra tried that as well. That was also to show the greatness of Krishna. When Krishna told the Brajavasis, don't worship Indra, let's worship Govardhan Hill. Because Govardhan Hill is a divine part of Golok. It's a form of Krishna. So in essence, what Krishna was saying was, don't worship Indra, worship me. So Indra got angry and made it rain. But Krishna protected all of his devotees, and in the end, Indra had to come and apologize. Just like Durvasa had to come back. Even Krishna wouldn't forgive Durvasa. He said, you go and apologize to Ambarish. It also shows a fact that if you offend against any saint, Krishna says, I can't help you. you go and ask forgiveness from that saint, then I'll accept you. So by doing bhakti, we please all the forms of God and all the celestial gods without doing any other form of worship, just bhakti to Radha Krishna. Yatha taror mulani shechanena tripyanti tatskandha bhujopashakha pranopahara chayathendriyanam tathaiva sarvarhanamachyutejya. This verse from Bhagavatam says that you wouldn't go and sprinkle water on all the leaves of a tree in order to keep the leaves green. In other words, in order to keep all of those thousands of leaves happy, you don't have to sprinkle water on them. Just apply water to the root, automatically they're pleased. They automatically get the water. In other words, just worship Radha and Krishna, everybody else is automatically pleased. You don't have to go one by one and try to please each one of them. Even your ancestors, some people worship Pitris. They do certain worship, which is recommended in the Vedas, to please your ancestors. It's part of being a good person. So if you're doing bhakti to Radha Krishna, do you also have to continue to do that worship to your ancestors? No, they're also fully pleased, more pleased than if you're doing karmakand type worship to them. If you're doing bhakti to Radha Krishna, they're all happy already. So this is Shubhada. Remember the first one, Kleshagni, bhakti gets rid of all kinds of suffering. Number two, Shubhada. So Shubhada is also of three kinds. Number one, it makes everybody happy. Other forms of God, celestial gods, your ancestors, everybody is pleased by bhakti to Radha Krishna. The next part of Shubhada is that all the good qualities, sadguna, they naturally arise in your heart. Everybody talks about being good or becoming good. Politicians give speeches about it. Parents tell their kids. People decide in their mind, I have to be good. Although we can control our behavior outwardly somewhat, but to really become good, we have to become good from the inside. So that means you have to purify your heart. And what can purify your heart? Only bhakti. Dharma satya dayopeto vidya va tapasanvita mad bhaktya petamatmanam na samyak prapunatihi. Krishna says to Uddhava in the Bhagavatam, there's no other practice that can, samyak means fully, completely. There's no other practice that can fully purify a person's heart. He said there are two great things. Following dharma, doing all the good actions which are outlined in the Vedas, along with truthfulness. He says, that's a very great thing, but that can't fully purify your heart. And following the path of renunciation and knowledge, that's a very great thing, which can purify your heart to some extent, but he says, not fully. Katham vinaro maharsham dravata va cetasa vina vinanandashru kalaya shuddhyed bhaktya vinashayah. Only loving devotion to me, Krishna is telling Uddhava. Only when you cry tears for me, that can fully purify your heart. Only that kind of loving devotion can, nothing else. Shuddhayati hinantaratma krishna padam bhoja bhakti mrite Imagine even Shankaracharya is agreeing with this. He says that only devotion to the lotus feet of Krishna can fully purify your heart. So to the extent a person's heart is purified, to that same extent, the good qualities start arising automatically from the inside. It means not trying to be good, you actually are becoming good from the inside. How does it happen? Well, all of these good qualities, whether they be truthfulness, generosity, compassion, peacefulness, they're all called Bhagavat Sambandhi Gunas. It means they're related to God. All the good qualities are related to God. And when you do bhakti, your heart purifies. And while it's purifying, Sri Maharaj tells this secret, that swarup shakti, that personal power of God which you receive at the end when your heart is fully purified and it divinizes your heart, that actually starts coming in before. As your heart starts purifying, Swarup Shakti starts entering your heart. Maharaji says, he's just coming to have a look around. He sees, no, he still has some work to do. His heart isn't fully purified yet, but he's hopeful that one day, yes, this heart will become, I will make this heart divine. So to that extent, you can call it God's grace, you can call it Swarup Shakti. To the extent we've progressed on the path of bhakti, our heart has purified to the same extent, and to that same extent we've received that much of Swarup Shakti has begun to impregnate our heart. So we're getting those godly qualities automatically. All the good qualities come automatically, and all the bad qualities naturally get suppressed. So this is the second part of Shubhada, getting the good qualities. And the third part, getting sukh. Rup Goswami says there's three kinds of sukh as well. Sukham, Vaishaikam, Brahmam, Aishwaram, Cheti. There is sensual pleasure of the world. Call it Jagadanand. Anand meaning happiness, and Jagat, the world. So you have Jagadanand, that's one kind of happiness. You have Brahmanand, the happiness of liberation when you attain formless God. And then you have Premanand, the happiness you get when you attain Prem, when you attain Krishna's divine love. So, bhakti actually gives all three of these. Although on the path of bhakti we don't ask for worldly happiness, yet when you're surrendering to Krishna, according to his law, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, to whatever extent you're surrendered to him, to that extent he's looking after you, both spiritually and physically. Sri Maharaji tells a story that there was a great scholar, Jagannath Mishra, and he wrote a bhashya of the whole Mahabharata. So as part of that, he explained the Gita. So when he explained this verse, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, he thought, no, that doesn't make, I don't think that's right. Vahamyaham means Krishna is saying, I personally take care of each and every devotee. I'd look after all of their needs. He said, probably he means dadamyaham, which means I arrange for it. Someone else looks after the details. I just assign someone to the task. Dadamyaham. So he actually scratched out that word from vahamyaham, he made it dadamyaham. And then there was no food in the house that day, so he went out and he went to the market to get some food. While he was out, Krishna said, okay, giving your own interpretation on the Gita is one thing, but changing the original words? No, I can't allow that. Now, Jagannath Mishra, of course, was a saint. He was doing this leela to show this to the ordinary souls that Krishna really takes care of everything. So now Krishna, while Jagannath Mishra was out and his wife was still at home, Krishna came in the form of a young boy to the door carrying a big heavy sack of rice and dal on his head, too big for a boy that size to be carrying. And he knocked on the door, and when Jagannath Mishra's wife opened the door, she saw this boy standing there with that huge load on his head and with like a fat lip, we say in America. He looks like someone had hit him. He was bruised on the face. So she had so many questions seeing him. You know, who are you? Why have you brought this food? And who has hit you? So Krishna in that form said, Mother, Jagannath Mishra has hit me. And he also sent me with all of this food for you. Because you didn't have any food in the house, so he sent that. So she was thinking to herself that is he losing his mind in his old age? First of all, sending such a heavy load on such a small boy, and on top of that, beating him? I'm going to have a word with him when he gets home. So Krishna left, and when Jagannath Mishra came back, she questioned him that, what's the matter with you these days? You're hitting boys and doing this. And he said, what are you talking about? I think you're losing your mind. So then when they discussed, and Jagannath Mishra realized what had happened, that, oh, you mean a boy came to the door carrying that? And he had a bruise on his face? He broke down in tears, realizing that that was Krishna, and the bruise was because he had crossed out that word in the Gita. And he was bringing that food because his devotee, Jagannath Mishra, had no food in the house that day. So, vahamyaham, I personally look after each and every devotee. So even though we don't ask him for anything, but worldly happiness comes automatically on the path of bhakti. It doesn't mean he's going to make you a millionaire, because that could distract you from the path. Number two also comes automatically. Mukti. Liberation you don't have to ask for. You get it automatically on the path. And of course, premanand, that's our goal in the first place, to get his divine love. So depending on the guru that someone has chosen, their guru may tell them, oh, you should ask God for worldly things. So they're asking for Jagadanand. If that person's guru has a higher attainment, in other words, they're a jnani saint and they've attained liberation, then they'll teach, oh, you should desire for Brahmanand, the bliss of formless God. And if they've actually met a rasic saint, their guru will teach them, no, no, bypass all of that, you should desire for premanand. But either way, through bhakti, you can have any of those. So this is only the second quality we've finished. First, kleshagni. Bhakti eliminates all sorrows and sufferings. We talked about three kinds. And bhakti gives shubhada. Gives all the good things, also of three kinds. Next, moksha laghuta krit. The happiness of moksha, the happiness of liberation, is like nothing before what bhakti can give you, before divine love. Even for someone just who's a devotee on the path, even that person is not interested in liberation. Imagine, such a great thing, liberation, its praises are sung in all the scriptures. And an ordinary devotee on the path of bhakti says, I don't want any liberation. Nanaka prishtham nacha sarvabhaumam. Na parameshtyam na mahendra dhishnyam na yoga siddhir apunarbhavam va vanchanti yat padaraja prapanna Bhagavatam. Even a devotee who's tasted a little bit of the happiness of bhakti on his path of devotion, if he were offered the topmost seat in the celestial abodes, in other words, would you like to become Brahma? He says, nope, not interested. How about Indra? Would you like to become the Lord, the King of all the celestial gods? Nope, don't want that either. Would you like to rule this entire earth planet? Nope, not interested. How about yogic siddhis? The greatest powers, material powers. I don't want those either. Okay, would you like liberation? No, all I want is devotion to the lotus feet of Shyam Sundar. He's not even interested in the other four kinds of mukti. There's five kinds of mukti. One is the one I talked about yesterday when you merge into formless God. But there's four other kinds of liberation that actually relate to Vishnu's abode, Vaikunth. So that's called Dvaita Mukti. You don't just disappear into formless God. You actually get to experience the bliss of personal God, but in His almighty form.
Sarshti Samipya Salokya Sarupya Ekatvam Apyuta Diyamanam Nagrihananti Vinamatsevanam Jana
Bhagavatam. Krishna says, even if I try to give any of those five muktis to one of my devotees, I'm giving it to him. He says, nope, I don't want it. So even a devotee at our stage knows, I don't want absolute liberation and I don't even want Mahavishnu's abode. I don't want to enjoy the opulence of God's almighty abode. All I want is Premanand. So this is Moksha Laghutakrit. It means it makes moksha look like nothing. That is the greatness of bhakti. That's number three. Number four is sudurlabha, which means it's very difficult to attain. It means just what I explained to you yesterday. It is not sadhana sadhya. Remember, sadhya means something you can attain, and sadhan means the way that you get that thing. So there's no such path which can take you to divine love. There's no practice you can adopt which will result in you attaining divine love. It is only received through Krishna's grace, and actually through the grace of a rasic saint. So sudurlabha means there's nothing you can do to attain it. You have to develop sadhanaheen bhav, which means humbleness before Krishna. That I want that thing which is your most personal thing, and I know there's nothing I can do to attain it, but I want you to grace me with that. It's his most personal thing. Vedavyasji even says, muk tim dadati karhi chit smana bhakti yogam. Bhagavatam. Krishna is very quick to give mukti. He's not so quick to give premanand, because that's his most personal thing. I told you yesterday, whomever he gives that to, Krishna becomes under that person. Just like we are seeing today in that Leela description by Sri Maharaji, how Krishna's durgati happens. Look, he's tied to the ukal and mother is threatening him with the stick. That happens because she got that premanand. So Krishna keeps that one in his back pocket. There's a story from the Ramayana which Sri Maharaji is very fond of telling, when Sri Ram's devotee, Kagbhushundi, surrendered to Ram. Ram said, I'm very pleased with you. Kaghbhushundi manguvar ati prasanna mohi jana animadik siddhi aparnidhi moksha sakal sukh khan. I'm very pleased with you, so I'm prepared to offer you a boon. You can ask for anything and I'll give it to you. And he holds a few things out for him to choose from, but he's keeping the best thing behind his back, in his back pocket. He says, why don't you ask for untold wealth? Why don't you ask for yogic powers? Why don't you ask for liberation? I can give you any of these things. So Kagbhushundi says, are you trying to make a fool out of me? I don't want any of those things. I want the thing you're not holding out to me, that thing you're hiding behind your back. Avirala bhakti Vishuddha Tava Shruti Purana Jehi Gava.
जेहि खोजत योगीश मुनि प्रभु प्रसाद को पाव.
I want your divine love. I know that's the topmost prize. So it's very rare to attain. Krishna is hesitant to give that, because once he gives that, it means he's given his own self to you and he has nothing more to give. And he belongs to you forever. So this is sudurlabha, the fourth feature of bhakti. The fifth one, sandrananda visheshatma, is similar to this on a higher level. To expound on this, Rupa Goswami says, brahmanando bhavedesha chet parardha chet parardha sudurlabha naiti bhakti sukham bodhe paramanu tulamapi. He says, if you take the bliss of Brahmanand, which is the bliss of formless God, and multiply it by one parardh, which is 155 trillion, that cannot compare to even one paramanu. Paramanu means the tiniest particle of bhakti sukham bodhe, the ocean of premanand, the ocean of divine love. Even a tiny particle of that, compare the bliss of Brahmanand and multiply that bliss by 155 trillion, and it's still nothing in front of a tiny particle, a paramanu of Premanand. It is so great that Vedavyasji says in the Bhagavatam, muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune. One out of millions of fully liberated souls receives that premanand. What is fully mukt, fully liberated? You see, when someone surrenders to God and gets liberation, I mean a jnani or a yogi who only wants liberation, he didn't ask for premanand, he still has to live out the rest of his destiny on this earth planet. So he's liberated, but not fully liberated, until he leaves his physical body and merges into God. Then he's fully liberated. So every once in a while, out of millions of such liberated souls, sometimes it happens, because of past devotions that they had done to Krishna, they actually come back out of their state of liberation, get born on the earth planet, and do devotion to Krishna and attain his divine love. Shankaracharya also tells about this. Very rarely it happens. So Vedavyasji referred to this in that verse. He said one out of millions receives it. So how rare is that bhakti? How great is it? There's another example of Shukdevji in the Bhagavatam. When Sutji Maharaj was telling the Bhagavatam to Shaunakadik Paramahans, he started by saying, oh yes, and when Shukdev told the Bhagavatam to Parikshit, and there they stopped him. They said, wait a minute, Shukdev Paramahans told the Bhagavatam to Parikshit? But Shukdev was absorbed in Brahmalin Samadhi from the time he was born. He stayed in his mother's womb until he was 12 years old. Then he appeared as a 12-year-old boy and walked directly into the jungle, so completely absorbed in formless God, in that bliss of formless God, that he didn't see anything, hear anything, know anything, think anything other than God. And since his soul was one with God, in other words, he saw himself everywhere. So his senses didn't work at all. He went into the jungle. He lay there in unconscious samadhi. None of his senses were working, were open to receive input from material sources. He was fully absorbed in bliss of formless God. So they said, that Shukadeva Paramahansa, he listened to the Bhagavatam, he learned it, and then he told it to someone else. How could that be? He was already in a siddha avastha. On the path of gyanis and yogis, at a certain stage they do shravan. That's the fifth stage out of eight. Once they've renounced everything, they do shravan, which means listening to the philosophy. Then they start meditating on it, they do manan, then comes nididhyasan, then comes samadhi. They enter into that state of absorbment. That's the goal. So Shukadeva Paramahansa was in that state. Why would he come out of that state and come back and do shravan, listen to the Bhagavatam? It doesn't make sense. This was their question. So Sut Ji said, oh, it's very simple. Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvantyahaitukim Bhakti Mittham Bhuta Guno Hari. Such are the qualities of Krishna, his divine love, his divine beauty, his personality. He is such that even those great jnanis and yogis who are absorbed in their state of samadhi, they abandon that state of samadhi and come back to the state of shravan because they want to hear Krishna's lilas. They want to hear about his qualities. They want to visualize his form. In other words, they do sadhana. They were in a state of siddhi. They had already attained a state of perfection. And they come back to do devotion because they want to attain the divine love of Krishna. This is Sanandra Visheshatma. This is the fifth unique quality of bhakti. And the sixth one is Shri Krishna Karshini, which means bhakti has the power to encharm the heart of Krishna. This I already explained, that Krishna himself is under that power of divine love. So Krishna himself is in love with anyone who has that power of divine love. So these are the six unique qualities, unique features of bhakti. In fact, the first two, Kleshagni and Shubhada, those are in sadhana bhakti. The first four, Kleshagni, Shubhada, Sudurlabha, Moksha, Laghutakrit, these four are in bhav bhakti. And all six, meaning the first four, plus Sandrananda Visheshatma and Shri Krishna Karshini, all six, including those last two, are in prema bhakti. So now we understand a little bit about the greatness of bhakti, why we have to do bhakti, and we know something about, in general, the stages of bhakti. From tomorrow, I'm going to concentrate on sadhana bhakti because that's where we are. How do we do sadhana bhakti? Our scriptures say there are nine main ways of doing sadhana bhakti. So we'll look at those nine, and we'll also understand out of these nine, which are the most important to do and how do we do those. And going forward after that, during the remaining days, I'll also talk about bhav bhakti, the stages of bhav bhakti, the signs of bhav bhakti. And as you progress, actually, there are nine stages on the path of devotion, which are also described by Rupa Goswami. We'll get to all each of these in turn throughout this week. So we'll finish now with a kirtan by Sri Maharaj Ji.
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए हम तो तेरी
अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
अब न जन्नत की ख्वाहिश न दोजख का डर,
अब न जन्नत की ख्वाहिश न दोजख का डर,
अब न जन्नत की ख्वाहिश न दोजख का डर,
अब न जन्नत की ख्वाहिश न दोजख का डर।
दिल की औकात क्या, हम तो खुद खो गए।
दिल की औकात क्या, हम तो खुद खो गए।
दिल की औकात क्या, हम तो खुद खो गए।
दिल की औकात क्या, हम तो खुद खो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
हम तो तेरी हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
अब खुदा की इबादत की आदत गई,
अब खुदा की इबादत की आदत गई,
अब खुदा की इबादत की आदत गई,
अब खुदा की इबादत की आदत गई।
हम ही तुम हो गए, तुम ही हम हो गए।
हम ही तुम हो गए, तुम ही हम हो गए।
हम ही तुम हो गए, तुम ही हम हो गए।
हम ही तुम हो गए, तुम ही हम हो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
बेवफा तुम सा कोई न देखा सुना,
बेवफा तुम सा कोई न देखा सुना,
बेवफा तुम सा कोई न देखा सुना,
बेवफा तुम सा कोई न देखा सुना।
फिर भी लौटे न वो तेरे दर जो गए,
फिर भी लौटे न वो तेरे दर जो गए,
फिर भी लौटे न वो तेरे दर जो गए,
फिर भी लौटे न वो तेरे दर जो गए।
तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
बेवफा की जफा ही है सत ची वफा,
बेवफा की जफा ही है सच्ची वफा,
बेवफा की जफा ही है सच्ची वफा,
बेवफा की जफा ही है सच्ची वफा।
राजदा है कृपालु तेरे हो गए,
राजदा है कृपालु तेरे हो गए,
राजदा है कृपालु तेरे हो गए,
राजदा है कृपालु तेरे हो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
अब न जन्नत की ख्वाहिश न दोजख का डर,
अब न जन्नत की ख्वाहिश न दोजख का डर,
अब न जन्नत की ख्वाहिश न दोजख का डर,
अब न जन्नत की ख्वाहिश न दोजख का डर,
दिल की औकात क्या हम तो खुद खो गए,
दिल की औकात क्या हम तो खुद खो गए,
दिल की औकात क्या हम तो खुद खो गए,
दिल की औकात क्या हम तो खुद खो गए।
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
अब खुदा की इबादत की आदत गई,
खुदा की इबादत की आदत गई,
अब खुदा की इबादत की आदत गई,
खुदा की इबादत की आदत गई,
हम ही तुम हो गए, तुम ही हम हो गए,
हम ही तुम हो गए, तुम ही हम हो गए,
हम ही तुम हो गए, तुम ही हम हो गए,
हम ही तुम हो गए, तुम ही हम हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए,
बेवफा तुम सा कोई न देखा सुना,
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 बेवफा तुम सा कोई देखा सुना,
फिर भी लौटे न वो तेरे दर जो गए,
फिर भी लौटे न वो तेरे दर जो गए,
फिर भी लौटे न वो तेरे दर जो गए,
फिर भी लौटे न वो तेरे दर जो गए,
तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
बेवफा की जफा ही है सच्ची वफा,
बेवफा की जफा ही है सच्ची वफा,
बेवफा की जफा ही है सच्ची वफा,
बेवफा की वफा ही है सच्ची वफा,
राजदा है कृपालु तेरे हो गए,
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 हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
हम तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए,
तो तेरी अदा पर फिदा हो गए, दीनों दुनिया सभी अलविदा हो गए।
बोलिए अलबेली सरकार की।